This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. First it was the economy, then it was the recall. As if the state of California needed more problems, the sometimes lethal West Nile virus has arrived there. Experts on mosquito-borne diseases found the virus in an isolated corner of the state last month. They also found signs that it's spreading. To learn more about where the virus might go next, NPR's John Nielsen met with West Nile experts in three very different parts of the state. His report begins near the Salton Sea in southeastern California.
The Greater Imperial Valley is a bone-dry desert dotted with heavily irrigated farms. Runoff from these farms feeds the freakishly overgrown wetlands surrounding the Salton Sea, California's largest lake. Birds and mosquitoes love it here. So does the West Nile virus.
My name is Hugh Lothrop, and we're about a mile and a half south of Mecca.
Mecca is a desolate farm town near the Salton Sea. It's one of Lothrop's regular stops as he patrols a network of mosquito traps and so-called sentinel chicken flocks strung along the eastern border of California. This is the early warning system that caught the virus, he says. Nervous chickens bolt back and forth inside a wire cage behind them. The fact that the virus was found in both mosquitoes and chickens means it's spreading, he says.
A positive mosquito pool can mean it's the first introduction. Positive chickens means that it's in the mosquito population as a whole and being transmitted to the birds.
Lothrop works for the Coachella Valley Vector Control District and the University of California at Davis. He's sent thousands of mashed-up mosquitoes and chicken blood samples to the lab at UC Davis. He remembers his first thought when the tests came back positive in mid-August.
Are we sure? Because we don't want to raise the alarm and have it be a false alarm. Because a lot of machinery rolls into action when this takes place.
Lothrop says it's highly likely that the virus will spread into other parts of California soon. He claps his hands for a large group of grackles gathered in a nearby tree. Local birds like those can spread the virus, he says. So can birds that migrate north and south. So might the violent summer storms that sometimes carry birds and mosquitoes up and over the mountains on the west side of the valley, bringing them down hundreds of miles to the west in the suburban heart of Southern California. Swarming clouds of big black mosquitoes aren't common here in Orange County or in the rest of suburban California. But that doesn't mean the West Nile virus won't take hold here. Orange County mosquitoes are smaller and sneakier, says Mike Hurst of the Orange County Vector Control District. He adds that these mosquitoes thrive in the smelly, green, algae-encrusted drainage sumps used to clean polluted water running off construction sites.
This is a catch basin to trap urban runoff and keep it from getting to the ocean.
That is fetid.
If you're a mosquito, it's heaven.
We're standing near the bottom of a bulldozed hill that hasn't been planted yet. The wooden frames of new suburban homes rise out of the top of the hill. Hurst says the mosquitoes found in pools like these tend to bite at night. Many are capable of spreading the West Nile virus. They also thrive in flower pots, rain gutters, abandoned swimming pools, and anything else that will hold water still for a week. Dick Meyer, an entomologist with the Orange County Vector Control District, says bodies of water like these have grown more common as the county has been developed. They've already helped spread other mosquito-borne diseases, like St. Louis encephalitis.
What happened is when we changed our environment and started to irrigate, we went from this desert system with little virus activity, brought in all the domestic birds, all the pets, all of humanity, and generated a whole new system to where now it's that some of these viruses are what we call hyperendemic.
That means they thrive year-round. When the West Nile virus hit the Salton Sea, the Orange County Vector Control District revved up almost all of its ground-level pesticide sprayers. The agency plans to spray as many bodies of water as they can on a regular basis. Costs will be covered by emergency funds until there aren't any left. At that point, the district will have to cut back on other vital programs. Problems with fire ants, killer bees, and rats could get worse as a result. If and when the virus arrives and spreads into people, aerial spraying over large parts of Orange County may have to begin. Bill Risen, a mosquito expert with UC Davis, says the crop dusters might not be welcomed, especially in suburbs like these. That will change if people die.
When your grandmother is in the hospital with a swelled brain and dying, most people would be more than willing to be sprayed.
Plans of this sort are being laid in cities all over Southern California. But Risen doesn't think cities are where this virus is headed. He thinks the virus is moving north from the Salton Sea toward the farms and ranches and dairies in the state's Great Central Valley. One of the mosquitoes found here, Culex tarsalis, is known to be a potent West Nile vector.
And associated with it is an extensive irrigation system that, if done properly, probably doesn't breed most mosquitoes. But like anything, anything's perfect. And low spots in fields that aren't laser leveled, broken pipes, leaks and seepages and whatever creates ideal habitat for Culex tarsalis.
Risen says this virus was found in Culex tarsalis mosquitoes near the Salton Sea. If birds carry it north, it could reach the cattle ranches and the horse farms of the San Joaquin Valley and the heavily irrigated rice and cotton fields in the Sacramento Valley. Risen says people who work outside at night will be most vulnerable.
Agricultural workers, some of the oil field activities go 24/7, and people that are outdoors at those times will be the ones that are at risk.
Culex tarsalis mosquitoes are especially common in the 500,000-acre rice farming district near the city of Sacramento. Rice farmers there say they're working hard to keep the virus out of heavily irrigated fields like this one near Yuba City. Lush green stands of rice seem to spread to every horizon from the middle of this field, and virtually the entire crop is under 5 inches of water. To keep the mosquito numbers down, employees of the Sutter-Yuba Vector Control District keep these fields stocked with fish that love to eat mosquito larvae. They look like oversized guppies. Technician Curtis Mills says they're called mosquito fish.
And they're pretty much self-controlling. One neat little thing about the mosquito fish is if they have nothing to eat, they eat each other, and then when the food supply comes back, they remultiply. So they're just tremendously efficient.
California rice farmers have spent millions on programs like these, according to Tom Johnson, the executive director of the California Rice Board. He says they've also tried to keep water from leaking out of flooded rice fields. If the virus comes this way, they will spend more money. If the virus comes this way and stays, that spending could start driving rice farmers out of business.
Now we're quite literally competing with countries that don't do any mosquito control in their fields, don't do any of the environmental measures that we're so proud of here and actually provide benefit to the greater community. And it is a challenge to be able to compete with folks like that.
Whether the West Nile virus takes a rural route or an urban route into California, or stays put at the Salton Sea, depends on the weather, the flight paths of birds, and any number of other variables. Mosquito expert Bill Risen says the fact that California has caught the disease early means vector control agencies will have a better chance of keeping the number of human cases low. If they don't, Risen fears that recent budget cuts could make it hard for the state's public health system to cope. John Nielsen, NPR News.
West Nile prevention tips are at npr.org.